There's a lot of alternative routes you can explore before you go straight to Botox.
I'm Courtney, Primally Pure's holistic esthetician. I'm here on our regenerative farm, grounding with our guest, Elizabeth Carter, a fellow holistic esthetician, a mama to the sweetest little girl, and the founder of Honest Rituals, a skincare and spa practice rooted in earthy and intuitive beauty.
This need to over-exfoliate the skin can be often damaging to our microbiome. The biggest thing that I had to unlearn was to not be scared of the sun and to learn how healing the sun is for the skin.
Today, we're talking about the beauty, balance, and grief of motherhood, how facial massage ties into our emotional bodies, the truth about ingredients like tallow for skincare, and what caring for your skin intuitively really means. Let's dig in. Elizabeth, welcome to the farm. We're so grateful that you made the trip out to visit us today. It has been such a joy to have followed you since your sailboat days out in San Diego doing skincare tutorials from your boat. And it's been really sweet to see your story unfold, your businesses expand, and your family. So I would love to just start at the beginning and hear what drew you to skincare initially and how it led you to create Honest Rituals.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to get to talk with you. And Honest Rituals was birthed a while ago, and it wasn't skincare originally. It was actually beeswax candles. So I handmade candles in my kitchen, and Honest Rituals was the name for it. And they're 100% beeswax. And I was doing skincare at the time. I was working at a sweet little boutique spa in Bird Rock, San Diego, and Honest Rituals was a coming back to basics, coming back to creating your own, for me, candles. And then I started to make a little bit of my own skincare and just for myself. And ritual for me was a moment to pause and put intention behind anything, really. Drinking water, sipping tea, making candles. And it was the start, I didn't know then, for me to grow my brand and everything I've created now. And so skincare for me was always something I loved to do growing up. I remember getting out of the bath when I was really young with my sister and like just lathering each other up with lotion and putting curlers in our hair and then making a mask out of ingredients we had in the kitchen. And beauty for me started young, not in a glamorous kind of makeup look, but more so taking care of the body. And when I found aesthetics, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't know it was going to grow into this and what I've created. But for me, it's always been something I've just innately done since I was little. And it's just been the most fulfilling thing so far.
Wow. And what led you to create that step of building your own brand and skincare space and what it is today?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was a yearning to do things my own way and to curate a facial that was much more than a facial. I think, you know, we learn in school just your traditional facial. It's very regimented, step by step. And I found that it wasn't giving my clients the results they were seeking. And so I had the freedom to create and curate a facial that I would love to receive and that I found people were getting transformational results after one session. And not as, you know, internally as well as aesthetically. So I think it was for me to have that freedom to do things my own way.
I know from my personal experience, getting treatments from you, transformational. More defined jawline, smoother fine lines on my forehead. But more than that, like just feeling so at ease and this deep peace that I left with that I didn't enter with. So what you've created is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And it truly goes beyond skin.
And you've been one of my first clients since going out on my own. So you were like, to have someone, you know, see it as it's grown, it's just It's so beautiful to have that.
So special. And you recently became a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear how becoming a mother has shifted your relationship with beauty, your body, and life and work in all the different spaces.
Yeah, it's a big shift. I mean, your body changes. And not only that, but your mind and everything shifts into a new way. And for me, embracing that shift instead of resisting it is, I think, what led it to being pretty easeful and joyful. And I mean, your body is the most intelligent, you know, being. It knows, and trusting that. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, being pregnant as a woman, at least in my experience, was the biggest transformation I've ever undergone.
Wow.
To create, co-create life and then birth it and then see this magical little being. It's just,
and she is the most magical little being.
Special.
Sweetest.
And I know I went into motherhood really wanting to be a mother and desiring it for that season of life I was in. And I think that also changes the way you embrace it.
And so in this new space of being a mother, how has that influenced your pace of both work and life? And what are some valuable insights or lessons that you've learned along the way to balance both being a business owner and a mother at the same time?
Yeah, that's, I'm still learning. I think to know that you're not going to operate at the capacity you did prior to even becoming pregnant, and just knowing that's okay. Mm-hmm. And what you did today is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get to it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I signed the lease for our second spa location in Kauai, 8 months pregnant.
Wow.
I was feeling very ambitious.
Yes.
And excited. And also creative, you know, you're creating life in you. And so I felt like I was also feeding off that, and knowing that Kauai is a home base that we want to have in this present future and in the next. And so it felt like kind of like not staking a flag, but like, I'm just going to drop this here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be here. And it was our way to really, you know, connect with the community and just feel a sense of home.
Mm-hmm.
My other spa's in Topanga, and that always feels like home to me. And now Kauai is that other essence. But it's been so challenging too. And that's normal, and it comes with it. And I don't think you can balance it. And I think you just, enough is enough, and you just let be what is. And being very mindful of where you give your energy to and what things you decide to get stressed over and what things are not worth it.
That's good.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm learning, and I think having a baby puts everything in perspective of what you're willing to tolerate, not tolerate, and make time for.
Do you have any advice for other mothers who are listening, who are wanting to build something meaningful that they're passionate about while also raising a family at the same time?
To just do it and not to care what anyone thinks. I think that's a big thing that can hold people back, is the fear of, and it's usually the people close to us or family, what they're going to say or what they're going to think if we do the thing we've been wanting to do. And it's very helpful to not care.
Yes.
And just do it and know that it doesn't have to be successful. It doesn't have to be all the things we put pressure on, because that can detract away from us creating and continuing that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that all of that will come, you know, if our heart's in it, we love what we're doing, and we just keep pioneering it. I think we're used to a very quick result, you know, mindset. And if it's not the thing we want in that short amount of time, we can get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And creating something and having a purpose besides motherhood can be very good for the mind during postpartum, a lot of it, because I feel like for me, it was pretty easeful, but also having this other purpose besides being a mother felt fulfilling in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it can mirror it very beautifully. And to just create And it doesn't have to be something big, but just taking little steps every day to turn it into what you want.
I love that. And it sounds like for your journey too, it just was very aligned with who you are, and like it was a natural overflow, and you were already in that really creative space, like you said, like creation of the little life within you and then birthing this other beautiful business on the side. So I feel like that's
it goes
just
hand in hand.
Yes, I love that. And so what I loved as well watching your journey was that you were literally building this spa with a baby on your hip. And I just felt like everything you shared was very encouraging of just bringing your daughter along for the ride and incorporating her into what you were already doing. And so with like this little shadow, little Penelope by your side, what is something that you hope that she observes from the way that you work and live so intentionally? And then with that, are there any rituals that you do with her that she's already loving and joining in on with you?
That's a beautiful question. I think showing them all of it can be so helpful for them growing up. And for me, before becoming a mother, I had to deprogram that your life stops of what you want to do. Your dreams are on pause until your babies are older and then you travel and do all the things. Mm. And I think that's a stigma a lot of us have within us. And I worked hard at rewiring that part of my thinking before having her. And knowing that, oh, they're just going to come along with me. And my partner was really good about that. He's like, oh, you just take them with us. Like, your life doesn't stop. You just have an extra bundle of joy, usually, to bring along with you. And so I really incorporated that in. And I mean, being 8 months pregnant, signing the lease, and then birthing her, you know, a month and a half later, she was there from day one.
Wow.
And I had to bring her with me. You know, I'm not going to leave her with someone else, or she was, you know, a part of me for really the first 6 months. And so I just brought her everywhere. And it was nice having that because it felt like I could do the things I still wanted to do. And I now have a little extension of me too, but showing her that, you know, it's just like, it's a family now, it's a family business. And I think the clients and the community I've cultivated, it's acceptable. You know, it's not like, oh, leave your babies at home. It's like, no, it's like, it's a part of who I am and what I do. And it's a family business. So it just felt fitting. And then rituals I do with Penelope, ever since she was little, I would give her face massage, and specifically on the forehead right here between the brows to help her to go to sleep. It's just so calming.
Yes.
And now that she's older, she'll motion for Bailey or myself to lay down, and she'll scoot her little body right here by her head, and she'll do her own little face massage on us.
It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. I have a little 5-year-old nephew. Same. I would start giving him facial massages before bed, and then we flip-flopped. And I was like, okay, Levi, now you can give Auntie Coco one. And he would always start with, take a deep breath in. But then he would change it up and say, and don't breathe out. Oh. And we just die. Now it's like a funny thing that we do.
So sweet.
So sweet to see how they love to receive it and they want to reciprocate.
Yeah. And you're calming down their nervous system. You know, the first year is very important, but, you know, I'd stretch that into like the first 7 years in getting them a good foundation for their nervous system. It's one of the reasons we moved to Kauai, because it's very peaceful and relaxing and surrounded by huge ocean and nature. And so even in utero, I wanted to be the most relaxed version of myself because the baby feels that. And so raising her there, primarily there, she's just, everyone comments on, oh, she's so happy and relaxed. And I feel like that can play a big role in their development too.
I love that so much. So I want to shift the topic slightly, still within motherhood, but a topic that's often avoided but super common, and especially within our community of women with primary care. And prior to having Penelope, you've been open about experiencing a miscarriage, and I would love to just chat more about that. And it's an experience that can often feel really lonely and isolating, And so I feel like sharing part of your story would just offer a lot of comfort and encouragement to women currently walking through that season or who have also experienced loss in pregnancy. And so would you mind sharing what that season was like for you and maybe what you wished that more people understood about walking through that?
Yeah, it's very isolating, like you said. And I think it's because we don't talk about it enough and realize how common it is. And there can be comfort in knowing that other women have gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went through it, it was probably the lowest I felt. I didn't stay at that emotion for long, but it was very, it was also very confronting because Bailey and I had opened up the portal, the door to want to have a baby, and it happened quickly. And at the time, there were some big things I wanted to shift mm-hmm. before I birthed her. And so when I first got pregnant, it was like, oh, but there's like three big things I want to happen mm-hmm. before we bring her in, which would have happened anyways. But then I experienced the miscarriage, and it was a affirmation of how deeply I wanted to be a mom at that time.
Because
I was excited, but I was also like, am I ready? You know, truly, you're never ready. You're just ready to experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that miscarriage was so confirming that, yes, I want to be a mom now. Here's what I want to shift before I bring her in. And so I had the miscarriage in July, August, September, October. 3 months later, she was conceived.
Wow.
And within those 3 months, things that probably would have taken maybe 9 months to happen, happened.
Wow.
So it was very like, dun, 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 dun. And then we were able to move to Kauai and have that freedom to do so
mm-hmm.
when I was 4 months pregnant. So everything happens
mm-hmm.
in the perfect timing
mm-hmm.
and to trust that timing in life and know how intelligent our body is. And if it doesn't feel like it can have a baby right now, trust that.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you something.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to force and control everything.
Mm-hmm.
So having that kind of let go, full surrender,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to do, mm-hmm. but just trust that your body will have a baby mm-hmm. when it's healthy, and not only physically, but mentally as well, to create, co-create life.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my advice.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Were there any specific rituals or relationships that helped you feel supported as you were walking through that loss? Or maybe in reflection, things that would have been helpful now looking back?
Yeah, I think having there's miscarriage doulas
mm-hmm.
that actually kind of help you through that process and navigating it, not only emotionally, but also body, everything mm-hmm. that comes with it. So I probably would have done that. And then I was talking with you earlier. I was like 4 days post miscarriage and I'm like, cancel work. We're booking a flight to Kauai. And then I did the Kalalau Trail, which is 12 miles hike into the jungle.
Mm.
And it's a pretty intense hike. Like 12 miles isn't far for me. I've done longer, but that one was like,
phase of
it's
life.
Like an emotional mm. hike. Not even if you're going through that. It's like, I've talked to other people. They're like, yeah, that's just, you kind of crave it when you're needing that
mm.
physical exertion and challenge.
Mm.
And honestly, it really helped me heal and have closure to just be away from society, everyone I told I was pregnant, and just to be out in nature alone mm. and to really see, like, that was the point that Bailey and I made the conscious decision, like, we're moving to Hawaii,
mm.
we're raising a baby primarily there. And it just, you get away from the noise
mm-hmm.
so you can connect with your own direction and intuition.
That's beautiful. Because I would think I have not walked through that, but that there would probably be a lot of voices, hopefully
mm-hmm.
many encouraging, but then
yeah.
maybe some that just are a little bit louder and maybe not as welcome. So I love that, just like allowing yourself space
mm-hmm.
to tune in, to process, to heal, to
yeah.
grieve and feel fully.
Yeah, and to also not feel the shame that surrounds it.
Ooh, yeah.
Because your body, you're like, oh, I can't. I think it even goes back generational as women, you know, we, if you couldn't have a baby, you weren't purposeful for the man for a lot of time. And so I think that could be residual in our being as well. And like, oh, I can't have a baby. There's like shame around that. And then you tell people you're pregnant and then you're like, oh, well, actually not anymore. And I think it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's just a part of life. It's okay. So
do you have any advice for anyone listening who has a friend or family member that's currently walking through pregnancy loss? And how to best come around and support the woman in their life?
I'm so sorry that happened, but also see it that it's meant to be and that the pain and the sadness you're feeling will pass when you get to hold your little baby and cuddle them. And know that so many women have gone through it. It's okay.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, so much. I know it's a really vulnerable topic, and I really appreciate you bearing your heart.
They're tears of joy because now I have heard. But yeah, it's really emotional.
As you walked through your own journey of grief, what helped you keep going? Like, what was that hope that you were holding on to, that there was another little baby girl on the way?
Well, you could feel them. I feel like you could feel them. And I felt like it was her coming through the first time. She's like, Mom, get your stuff together. I want to do this. And so it was like a little beep. Here, I'm hovering. You're not ready yet, but I'm going to come back. And I've really felt like she was always there. And I actually didn't find out what gender I was having, and I was like, I always knew though it was a girl, and I had dreams it was a girl. And then when I birthed her, it's like, oh, it is you. So it's so special. So you just like, no, you're gonna hold your baby one day, and that's gonna heal everything you felt through a miscarriage or pregnancy loss or whatever you may have experienced.
And your story is just so redemptive, because something that can be so devastating also can be such a pivotal moment. Like, it seems like it really almost like rerouted the direction you were going and guided you to pursue where you're at and the lifestyle you really wanted to live aligned with. And I find that even with our community with Primally Pure, so many women find our brand and our non-toxic products when they're on this road of infertility. And it can be almost like, just like what you said, like, I wanted these things to be in place. So sometimes it can be a little wake-up call and a gentle encouragement, sometimes not so gentle, but that encouragement, like, okay, what are we going to help put into place to be the most like vibrant version to welcome this little life into the world?
It is. It's a nudge to getting more clear on who you want to be, how you want to live your life. Because now you're not just thinking about you. You have this little being of like, oh, I want to curate their life so they can experience this and be raised here. And so, yeah, it's like the ultimate reroute.
Oh my gosh. Your story is so encouraging. Thank you so much for just being so open about your process. I know it's going to be very encouraging for a lot of women that are tuning in.
Thank you for asking. I think it needs to be talked about more.
So as we're talking about processing deep emotions and feeling deeply, something that I know you are very passionate about and something that I love so much that also helps to process and release emotion is facial massage and movement. So I would love to hear from your perspective how this supports skin health and that deeper wellness and emotional support.
It's just like we were talking earlier, it was finally freedom to create and curate a facial that I felt would give long-lasting results. And with facial massage, with any massage, but specifically facial massage, it's a very intimate treatment. You carry so many emotions within the muscles of your face. This is where we show expression, and we also hold a lot of emotions that we haven't processed, primarily in the jaw, the forehead, behind the eyes, the neck, the shoulders, and it can become built up over time and cause us to prematurely have wrinkles and it really shapes our life experience, shapes the way we age, the way wrinkles shows up on our skin. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen a beautiful older woman that has wrinkles that just, you can tell, like, oh wow, like she smiled a lot. You can see where her lines have developed. And then you can also have seen someone that may have had a very hard life. And you can see, like, when they're not showing an expression, the way their skin has aged and the wrinkles have shown up is kind of maybe downwards. And they just feel like maybe they had a lot of trauma or sadness. Mm-hmm. And so it's so fascinating when you get into facial massage, because mm-hmm. it's just the ultimate treatment at restoring not only emotions, but facial symmetry and the energy release you experience through. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to experience that through any other treatment. Mm-hmm. So you're getting into the muscles of the face, you're releasing that emotion. And a lot of people will feel it during the session. They'll cry mm-hmm. or express different emotions as you move through different parts of the face. And after the treatment, they'll leave feeling, I've had clients say they felt like 10 years younger or lighter or energetically lighter, or that they yes. went somewhere mm-hmm. and you're just creating the space for their own healing, for them to heal themselves mm-hmm. or to relax and release.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think there's not a big enough emphasis on what even just an hour of relaxation, deep relaxation mm-hmm. can do
yes.
for the nervous system, the body, the mind. Mm-hmm. And so getting to curate and create that space for them to find that healing mm-hmm. is so rewarding mm-hmm. and nourishing. So yeah, it's been so beautiful to have this.
Mm-hmm. I know for myself too, when I experience it, I do. It's like, first of all, I felt like, oh my gosh, I just lost like 5 pounds on my face. I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
But that deeper emotional experience mm-hmm. truly is what led me to want to really dive into facial massage unlike ever before. And so could you chat with us a little bit more about specific facial muscles that you focus on in facial massage and maybe the underlying emotion that's correlated with that?
Yeah. And that's really where I found the interest, is to kind of map out what emotions are behind what muscles. Mm-hmm. And throughout the facial massage I give, it's often curated with meditation from me as well. Mm-hmm. So I find myself, when I would get a treatment, my mind goes a million different places. And so bringing back the client to their body, what they're feeling mm-hmm. is super helpful for them to stay in it. And so in the jaw, there's emotions of control typically. So when we feel like we are at a loss of control in our life, we'll clench and grind our teeth, usually at nighttime, but often like when we're driving or doing things where we're not actively talking or doing other tasks. And so it's a lot of times subconscious and we'll be grinding or clenching. And that emotion is typically control. So when I'm working in the jaw, I'll just bring the client back to releasing the jaw, releasing control. Mm. I'll have them like open up their palms to surrender. Because often when you're in the jaw, you're like, because it can feel intense.
Everything's clenching.
You're like, bah! And so you can go through that and just be relaxed and relax your palms, have them face upwards. It helps the process and they receive a better treatment. So in the jaw, control, and the
so would you say with people who are experiencing TMJ issues, yes. that's something to look a little bit deeper into?
Definitely. It's the emotions. Mm-hmm. And I'll often ask them when it started. And for them, they'll date it to a point that was very stressful for them in their life. And I go, this is when it happened or started. And emotions can be a big driving factor and a lot of health other issues like parasites, different internal body can cause a lot of jaw tension. So it's it's very rounded. It's not usually one thing, but emotion is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And then the forehead is usually feels very heavy. That's where we do all our thinking.
Yes.
So it's the epicenter of the mind, our thoughts. And so when I'm in this area, I'll have them clear their mind and release feelings of stress, anxiety, fear, sadness, grief, and it helps to clear the mind and therefore it relaxes the muscles. And then our these lines can be a few different reasons. Smiling, of course, but also depending how deep they can be related to grief and trauma, sadness. So the depressor muscles, depression, depressor, we got that term. So like I said, if you've seen an older woman and her, you know, her mouth is shaped kind of like an upside down frown, it's typically due to those reoccurring thoughts you're thinking, because each thought creates a facial expression.
Our skin tells such a story.
Of
the lives that we've lived and the emotions that we felt.
Yeah.
And I find with facial massage too, once we start to implement it more consistently, I know I have found that I become more aware of my tendencies of furrowing or clenching. And I've learned to relax on my own.
Yeah.
Which has been a beautiful ripple effect of receiving
facial massage. That's the greatest tool, is to be able to relax on your own. Because when I'm giving a facial, or when you're giving a facial, the client can relax. But if you can emanate that throughout the day and you find yourself clenching, there's certain tricks that you can do to release the jaw instantly. And the more you do that, the more you'll build new muscle memory.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
So one of your expertises and what you are renowned for is the buccal intraoral sculpting facial massage. And so excited to hear more of that technique. So could you walk us through what that technique entails, and even more deeply, the connection with the jaw, with the fascia, and really the benefits and the long-term effect of this technique?
Yeah, it's, so the buccal facial is where we put on gloves and we go into the mouth. So oddly enough, it's when most of my clients fall asleep. Not what I would think, but like,
until
it's like
you
full
actually
surrender.
Experience it, you could be like quite resistant of like, I'm going to feel like I'm at the dentist, but.
And we do, we have a lot of trauma typically surrounding the mouth with dentists or having facial injuries. And so to get into the mouth is a next level of intimacy where it's like full release, full surrender. And when we go into the mouth, we're able to access the jaw that we can't access externally. And so you're getting a release that you wouldn't be able to get just externally. You're getting into the deeper layers of the muscles, and through that you get a deeper release. And in the jaw, you have points up here, upper jaw, lower jaw, and oftentimes I'll ask my clients where they're feeling the tension, and honing in and being able to release those points, it feels like a client's leaving, like, I'm moving their jaw around, like, oh, I can feel my mouth. There's so much spaciousness in there.
Yes.
And so getting clients to release and relax in that way, it's a treatment they've never experienced before. And you find the full body relaxation. So a lot of clients will leave being like, oh, I feel like I just got a full body massage, but we've just been up here. It's because all the points are connected. And if this area is relaxed, the entire body typically is relaxed. So you kind of get two in one treatment.
Yes.
And then I'll often go into the inner ear as well. And that's where the lower and upper jaw meet and can be a very pivotal point where we hold a lot of tension. And so releasing it through the inner ear as well is helps with so much in realignment of the jaw. And the jaw holds tension, but it can also release tension very quickly, given the right massage techniques to do at home as well. And our body is always trying to come back into homeostasis. So if you give it the right tools and you do the right things, it will release.
I love that.
And so you won't have it forever. Jaw tension can go away and relax.
And then I feel like everything's repairable.
Everything.
You give it the right environment and support. And then what about the jaw pelvic connection?
So connected. And so often mamas will come in like third trimester pregnant to get the buccal massage, so it relaxes and opens the pelvic floor, the hips.
So crazy, like you were saying, like just by focusing on the face, we're able to impact the whole body, and something that could seem so disconnected actually are quite intricately connected.
They're intertwined. And when I'm in the mouth, I'll have the clients tell them to relax the hips, the jaw, because because I know when I give it to myself, it feels like someone's pulling out my stomach. Wow. Like it's, I feel it here, but I feel it so much in here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we carry emotion in our entire body, but a lot of it's in our hips, our lower back, mm-hmm. our belly. Mm-hmm. And so we can access those points by working through the jaw.
Do you have any tips for an at-home buccal massage for anyone listening?
Yeah, it's, I think at home is amazing because it's self-explorative and you're mm-hmm. able to feel and hone in on the points. It's unique for everyone and yes. different. And so often send my clients home with a little homework on what to do to keep that relaxation going. And so put on a nice, beautiful, you can do a tallow balm by Primarily Pure or an oil of your choice to have a nice slip. And then you're just going to stick your thumb into, you have a back pocket right here, and you're gonna press outwards and you just hold it for like 5 seconds or whatever you can tolerate, and you can adjust the pressure as needed. Mm-hmm. And then you can massage the outer face with the rest of the hands mm-hmm. and doing that on either side. So you could do it at the same time by crossing. I have a video of at-home buccal massage on my social media too, so people can follow along. But okay. if you can do that consistently, the results are amazing.
I love that. So I feel like too, it's kind of a newer technique that not a lot of estheticians are offering. Mm-hmm. So if they're not able to find anyone local to them, they yes. can at least start
yeah.
that practice and get those massage benefits.
Absolutely.
On their own. So a trending and sometimes a controversial topic that we love to talk about at Primarily Pure actually is Botox. And I would love to get your thoughts on this injectable, first of all, and then if you have any rituals or recommendations to help recreate its results, but naturally.
Mm. Yeah, it's a hot topic. And I don't think it's so black and white. I think, obviously, everyone, do what you want. Just learn about it, educate mm-hmm. yourself about it, and make the right decision from there. And also assess internally what is driving you to want to get the Botox. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it can be, it's trending, everyone's doing it. And it's also, we're not seeing women age like we used to. So the wrinkles on the face, we're trying to preserve our youth. I think that can be dangerous in a way.
Mm-hmm.
To see faces of wisdom and to know people's story and they went through life, it's just a part of our being. And so I think educate yourself on it. It's a neurotoxin. It's rather new in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can achieve results not as quickly, but similarly to what you'll achieve through Botox.
Mm.
And I often think it's women are just getting it way too young.
Mm-hmm. The preventative Botox is such a thing with the younger generation
yeah.
right now.
And, you know, when you inject Botox, the neurotoxin or whatever you're using into the skin, it's temporary paralysis of the facial muscles. So you're not using those facial muscles. Yes, that helps to combat the wrinkles that are showing up, but it's also making the muscles weak. And so the muscles become dependent on that, because when it wears off, it's like your muscles kind of begin to atrophy over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to be like, oh, if you're having wrinkles show up in a way you don't like, what's the emotion you're feeling consistently to create that facial expression? So stress or, you know, oftentimes we're stressed or concentrated, we'll furrow our brows. That's normal. That happens. And there are many techniques, massage techniques, other modalities that are more natural that can help combat them. And in the long term, really help release the emotion. So it's doing you more of a favor. And oftentimes when we put Botox, we are kind of putting a Band-Aid on that, and we're not, you know, if we're not allowed to express our facial expressions, it can be, I think, a long-term effect, a little scary. Mm-hmm. You know, you're even like your children be able to see you smile and show the whole spectrum of emotion. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of being human. So mm-hmm. I think it's overdone. I think people are getting it done too early. I'm not pro it. I'm not against it. I think just do it in moderation. If you are going to do it, go to someone that's very educated and knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. and assess, you know, why you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And if it's something you want to do, no, everyone do their own thing. But first, there's a lot of alternative routes you can mm-hmm. explore before you go straight to Botox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important, of just feeling empowered and making an educated decision. Yeah. Of like, I know the potential risks and I'm taking this step forward. Yeah. And I think also this other side of like, there are other alternatives. Yeah. And there are other options to achieve more youthful skin that also offer these beautiful, holistic healing benefits. So what do you recommend for a facial guest that is looking for other alternatives?
So the sculptural and buccal, of course. And so doing that consistently once a week as often, and doing that consistently for 6 sessions can be huge in transforming, and you're rewiring the facial muscles. So you need that consistency in order to retrain the muscle memory. And after usually 6 sessions, either once a week, once every 2 weeks, it is in maintenance, like once a month, once every 2 months, depending on what you need. I like to pair it with cosmetic acupuncture mm-hmm. as well. I call it like the ancient Botox, it essentially mirrors what we're doing with the sculptural and buccal. And it's also tapping into the meridians and restoring the collagen production in the skin and relaxing the facial muscles. And then having a beautiful at-home skincare regime is so helpful as well. I also think that we are borderline very new into, you know, I don't want to say it, preventing aging, like the modalities we have. There's going to be, I think we're going to go into more of the natural realm of how to, you know, preserve a radiant appearance. And I think what we're doing right now, yes, it feels innovative and new, but wait 10 years, it's going to be completely different mm-hmm. and probably more natural.
Mm-hmm. That's something that we talk about as well, is that it's not been around, Botox and these other different types of treatments haven't been around long enough to really gauge the long-term effects. So yeah, potentially down the road, as that starts to surface a bit more, maybe a pivot for people to start searching for more natural alternatives too.
And also be okay with aging. We're all gonna do it.
I always say that aging is such a gift. Because sadly, so many people aren't given that privilege. Mm-hmm. And having that, like, sage wisdom of living life to its fullest. And, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I think Dr. Zach Bush quoted, picked it up from something he was saying, but it's, since when did we begin to fear the face of wisdom? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, one, such a gift to be able to age. And Penelope, my partner's side, has a great grandma. Like, what, how beautiful is that, that you get to see 2 generations down? Like mm-hmm. it's a privilege and a gift to be able to age mm-hmm. and preserving our youth. It's not sustainable and it's just not gonna happen mm-hmm. And for women, I think it's important to not put so much emphasis on your looks. Mm-hmm. I think as a society, that's where we hold our value. Yes. And when that begins to fade in societal standards, it's an identity crisis.
Wow.
And it's important to also cultivate who you are at your core, your personality, what you stand for, mm-hmm. your worth, like developing the inside. Like, beauty truly comes from within. My mom would always tell me that growing up. And I find it so true. It's like, yes, not only what you're putting on in your body creates beauty, but also what you're thinking, your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And to put less emphasis on your looks, keep them up and, you know, age gracefully, mm-hmm. but that's not everything. There's so much more to that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Elizabeth, I just love your perspective so much and just how holistic it is. Like, there's so many underlying and deeper layers. And I think that's life. Like, it's very complex. Mm-hmm. And like what you said before, it's not just black and white. Like, there's so many different facets and factors. So considering all of them.
Yeah.
I wanted to also quickly chat about Botox in the jaw for TMJ dysfunction.
Yeah. So I actually have a lot of clients that come in post having the Botox injected into their master to release jaw tension, migraines that can come from holding a lot of tension in the jaw. And they're often coming in because it's done the opposite. They're not able to, you know, you're not able to feel your jaw. So you don't even know now if you are clenching more because you can't feel that, as well as it blocks the flow of their lymphatic fluid in the face. So right here, you know, you have two main lymphatic. This is the pathway. And so when you're injecting it into your masseter here, you are blocking that beautiful natural flow. And so they can have a lot of fluid retention, and then that shows up everywhere else in the face. And so it's a quick fix. It's a band-aid. You know, if you're in a lot of pain and you just need that, you know, I don't think it's the right option, but usually people do it and they'll be like, oh shoot, what did I do? And not to mention the amount of units they're injecting into these areas, it's a lot. And it's, you know, Botox migrates, it's gonna move. It doesn't stay right here. And you know, we were talking, people also do it to help with sweating under the arms. Your body needs to sweat. If it's overly sweating, there's a reason to look at that and not to just think that, oh, I'll just, you know, patch it up with a quick fix. It's like, why is your body, you know, needing to detox so much? Look at it at a full rounded perspective and not just one pathway.
Really listening to your body and the messages that it's trying to send.
Yeah, it goes back to it being so intelligent. You know, things appear in our body to get our attention, for us to look at. And if we keep ignoring it, it's just going to fester and more things are going to happen down the line.
This is why I love your work so much, is just allowing our skin to communicate with us and letting that guide you. And you're quite intuitive in your work. And so having that perspective as a professional, but then also educating your guests on learning to also listen to their skin's cues. Where are the wrinkles forming on the face? What are those underlying emotions that we can work on more deeply to help support, or the imbalances in the body to help bring back into homeostasis? So it's a very powerful, powerful work that we're in, which is, just beautiful to share that with you. Next topic I want to talk about can also be a bit controversial. Totally trending in the natural skincare space, and is a foundational ingredient for Primally Pure. It's tallow. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this ancient ingredient for topical skincare products.
Yeah, well, when we're talking about tallow, we are talking ancient skincare. It's been used for thousands of years, not only in skincare, but as a means to light. They would use it for candles, and in ancient Egypt, they would use it as one of their main skincare ingredients, infusing it with herbs. And controversial as it may be, it's an amazing skincare ingredient. And I think it goes back to, you know, your views, and it's an animal product. However, if you're okay using that on the body, it's a superfood ingredient for your skin. And it's so pure, and it's so hydrating and nourishing, and filled with so many vitamins. And when I use it, I like to use it as my glide, doing the sculptural and buccal massage. Clients' skin, it doesn't compare to when I use different ingredients. So it's in my view, it's beautiful skincare ingredients.
Yeah, it has that biocompatibility with the skin, so I feel like it's easily recognized and received by the skin. And in Latin, I believe the word tallow actually translates to sebum. And so it's just this, it just mirrors the makeup of our skin.
Yeah, and when your skin recognizes, like jojoba oil also emulates our own sebum production, and so it's easily absorbed. And anytime our skin, again, it's so intelligent, it just tells you what it likes, what mm-hmm. it needs, and the results, you know, you can't argue with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan. I love it.
Have you had any conversations with clients or women in your community that are concerned with maybe like the comedogenic potential of tallow? Or what do you say to people that may be concerned with that regarding tallow?
Yeah, I think it's just...
Or like acne prone skin.
Mm-hmm. Educating yourself around it and actually what does cause, you know, a product to be comedogenic is when it has such a large molecule, it just sits on the skin and it doesn't absorb. Like coconut oil, for example, you know, I say use it on your body, your hair, on your skin. You know, if it's fractionated and, you know, differently processed, it can be good, but it has such a large molecule that, you know, it's going to clog. It can clog your skin. Mm-hmm. In my experience, tallow doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be scary for a lot of women to use a thick balm like tallow and oil mm-hmm. and all these things that we have been programmed to avoid.
Yes.
You know, we want that squeaky, clean, foamy,
oil-free.
Not only are you stripping your microbiome by doing that, is you are leaving behind the surfactants that are in those products, and that can cause to, you know, dermatitis, redness, rosacea, so many things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's all about coming back to basics. You know, it's a part of nature. It's amazing for our skin. Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, if you want to try it, but you're a little hesitant, just try a little bit, maybe on your neck first, and then you can migrate up to your face mm-hmm. or maybe applying it on the areas that you're not so oily, like your nose or your chin, and just like starting to get comfortable with it.
I love that.
And then you'll realize it's fine.
Yeah, baby steps.
Baby steps. And then you'll just be like this.
Yeah, so be bathing in it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think just, you know, mm-hmm. It's just an ancient ingredient that I'm so happy is coming back into a trending ingredient mm-hmm. now. I think we are drawing things in because it's worked yes. for thousands of years.
Like, mm-hmm. It's got a good track record.
It's got a good track record. Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, with maybe some of the concerns of it being an animal-based ingredient, that's where sourcing is such a huge aspect. Mm-hmm. And especially with regenerative farming,
yeah,
like these animals play such a vital role in the health of the whole ecosystem. And when they're living these happy, healthy lives and processed really humanely, and like our ancestors used the nose to tail philosophy where every aspect mm-hmm. of the animal was used, it had a purpose, nothing was yeah. wasted. I feel like we're really following in their footsteps of no waste, like really bringing intention back to the animal's life
yeah.
and its death. And how we're just like honoring it with the way that we're using
yeah.
the gifts that it's given us.
Absolutely, too. And, you know, everything holds energy in the, you know, the way you kill an animal. I feel like the meat, you know, it just carries that frequency and energy in it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking at your skincare, but also, you know, looking at everything and how it's processed and how it got from that to now this.
Yeah.
Because everything carries a frequency and energy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so having it harvested in such a way that is so conscious, mm-hmm. you know, you can feel it differently. Because I've tried a lot of tallows, and your guys's is pretty amazing.
Thank you. What do you look for your own personal rituals and with your guests when it comes to ingredients? What are the standards and qualities that you hold to for that? And then what are some of your favorite ingredients for mm-hmm. skin health?
So less is more. I think getting very high quality ingredients and focusing on what you want to achieve, whether it's hydration, you want to focus on texture, evening out your complexion, and educating yourself about skincare. The ingredients in the skincare. My mom, about food, she would always tell us, read the ingredients. And I think we often are just like, oh, it's pretty packaging and mm-hmm. it tells me it's going to do this and this.
Marketing claims on the front.
Oh, yeah. And it's just not usually the case. And so if you flip the box around, I know a lot of us, you know, don't know what those ingredients mean. But, you know, if it has pretty long words that you can't pronounce, maybe not those ones.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think natural, when it says natural fragrance, mm-hmm. usually stay away from that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to see and have a smell, it should say the exact herbal name or essential oil.
Yeah.
And natural flavors, that's in food, and natural fragrances is an umbrella. For whatever they want to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's at the bottom of the ingredient list. Mm-hmm. So you can just scan and be like, oh, yeah, no.
And that's such a sneaky one that finds its way into so many
everything,
clean or even like non-toxic products. So that's one that we often educate our community. Like, this is the number one word to look out for on an ingredient label.
When it's not specific to what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, 5-10 years, maybe sooner, time from now, it's going to be like natural flavors, cancer causing, you know, you just, I like to know exactly what's in the food I'm eating, what's in the ingredients I'm putting in my skin. And, you know, if I can't pronounce it or I don't know where the scent's coming from, I'm not going to put it on my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And there is very high quality natural skincare. I think a lot of education for my clients, you know, they're like, oh, it doesn't work. You know, they could have tried it and it was maybe a very low quality brand and, you know, it might not would have given them the desired results. But brands like Primarily Pure and Beautiful Ones I carry in the spa, they do give you results that you're after, because, you know, every ingredient in even, pharmaceuticals comes from a plant. The origin is a plant.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we get into creating natural skincare, the more high tech and results driven it's going to become.
Mm-hmm.
We're just on the very tip of this. Mm-hmm. I think it's the future.
I love that.
Yeah.
And do you have any specific ingredients that are your favorite for really supporting overall skin health?
Tallow, of course, for hydration and so many other benefits. When it comes to oil, I love olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overlooked, and that's also ancient skincare. Mm-hmm. Olive oil has been used for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And sea buckthorn oil, pomegranate seed oil, they're just very high in antioxidants, mm-hmm. and they're so nourishing. Of course, if you're getting it from the right source, they're a good quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I love also not so much what you're using in your skin, but what you're eating creates beautiful skin from within.
Yes.
So you have to look at everything and eating for beauty, you know.
Love that.
Yeah.
Skincare is everything.
Yeah. It's not just like one thing. If a client comes in, they're like, I want to work on this. You're like, well, what are you doing? What are you eating? What are your emotions, your state of stress, your mental well-being? Like, it's so rounded that one thing's not the cure or the remedy. Mm-hmm.
Which can be one of the most frustrating things about healing your skin, is there's so
many
internal, external. Yes.
But it's also the most beautiful investigation that you're going to find out about yourself.
I love that approach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to talk about your little farm plot that you have on Kauai, because I know you've started growing your own flowers and herbs and plants and wanting to start creating your own hydrosols.
Mm-hmm.
And would love to hear what inspired that journey and what that process looks like a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah, so that's been something that's been really lighting me up right now, mm-hmm. is we have a little farm plot in Kauai. And right now we're growing calendula, and they're just the most bright, beautiful pockets of sunshine encapsulated within a flower.
I still have mine that you gifted to me when I was there, slowly sipping my calendula tea.
Good. And so Bailey planted them all by seed. And so calendula is a very fast growing flower. And the more you pick it, the happier it is and the more it produces.
Perfect.
And so we're using calendula. We're going to be doing oil infusions. So we're creating a beautiful body oil. And then it's very medicinal. So calendula helps to move the lymph in the body. So we do a beautiful somatic and buccal full body treatment. And so we're going to be using, it's going to be olive oil and calendula as the massage oil, because it helps to also speed up the lymphatic and help to clear out any blockages. So we're going to be using that as the oil. And I'm also making hydrosols with it.
Wow.
So it's just encapsulating the essence of the plant. The hydrosol is so beautiful. You and I have talked about how much we love them. And they're so much different than a facial mist.
Yeah.
It's like you're retaining that essence of the plant spirit in the bottle. It's beautiful. So not only is it good for your skin, I find it like an energetic lift me up too.
I feel like hydrosols are one of the most overlooked steps in a routine, yeah. overlooked products.
Yeah.
Like often I feel like people feel like the little spritz is just like a nice to have, not a necessary to have. And I'm like, no, that plant water is so vital for your skin health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it externally. You can also drink the calendula. So I like to, we've been drying them and then we take the flowers and infuse them into our tea we serve at the spa and then sending them home with clients because it helps so much with acneic skin and helps to clear and decongest the skin internally too.
I love that. I feel like too, this, we can often be so disconnected from the food on our plate.
Mm-hmm.
And the ingredients in our skincare products. So I feel like even you pursuing this new endeavor, and I love that it's lighting you up so much right now, but I think it's just a reminder and like what we were just talking about to just really reconnect with where these ingredients are coming from, the process in which they were grown and harvested and formulated, and just supporting that reconnection to our whole self and what we're choosing to spend our money on and support our skin and body with.
Exactly. And the way things are grown, like it starts with the seed and then the soil planted in and then the light it's getting from the sun.
Yes.
So there's so much that goes into, you know, a high quality skincare ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the seed.
That's essentially like our whole philosophy at Primarily Pure is soil to skin. Mm-hmm. And even here on the regenerative farm, they call themselves like grass farmers, like they tend to the soil and everything else flourishes from that ecosystem that's balanced and in homeostasis.
Well, the seed carries the intelligence, intelligence of the plant.
It's so crazy.
And I don't know if you've read the Anastasia book. It's the Ringing Cedars series. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Oh, I saw you recently post about that, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. And essentially she was saying, you know, if you're planting your own medicinal garden at home, like veggies or herbs, you put the seed and you hold it in your mouth under your tongue for a minute or so. And what that seed is doing is it's downloading what your body needs. So yeah, you know, tomatoes have the generic things they're good for, but if you do it specific to your body, it's like, oh, you need more vitamin C. Oh, you're lacking in this. You need this. So it's going to create the perfect tomato plant for your body.
Stop. I'm so doing this this summer.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah. And then walking barefoot on the soil, your feet release toxins and the soil is picking up what you need and what you're detoxing. So it's just, I mean, it's really simple if you think about it and it's like, yeah, of course that makes sense.
We have such a tendency to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
Which, kind of on that same note, overcomplicating, I feel like you and I both went through aesthetic school. And while we learned so many valuable lessons and insights in that program, we both have had quite a lot of unlearning to do and bringing it back to the basics and less is more. But I would love to hear from your perspective something that you learned in aesthetic school that you now do completely differently.
Everything. It's just a little tiny bit you need to get your license. And there are some good things you learn about, you know, the layers of the skin, the cellular, you know, how your skin absorbs things. And but it's just so minimal, and which is fine, but you're not learning what you need to learn. And I think all my education came outside of that.
Yes.
And unlearning that, I think the biggest thing that I had to unlearn was to not be scared of the sun. Like, I was genuinely terrified to be in the sun after aesthetic school.
Oh, we're in here in good company.
I'm like, I would be in the shade and like have this SPF on. And it was just a big unlearning for that, and to learn how healing the sun is for the skin and to have respect for it and you know, it's not the sun that's damaging. It's what we're putting in and on our body. Mm-hmm. And then it has a chemical reaction when we go into the sun.
Yes.
And yes, there is a place for SPF. I'm not against SPF, but you don't need to be lathered in it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And having a relationship with the sun and knowing its benefits and knowing when, you know, to be in the shade and when to maybe not be in it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest thing I had to unlearn.
I always feel like such like a hypocrite, kind of, being an esthetician that doesn't apply sunscreen as the last product in my treatment or send them home with that product off the retail shelf. I'm like, this was like the golden rule in aesthetic school.
There was no fans or buts.
Yes.
Sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And there's so many icky ingredients in sunscreen. And realistically, sunscreen doesn't really surpass a 35 SPF. It's more about reapplying it, and it only lasts typically 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And put some more on, but it's super damaging. In Kauai too, it's ruining the reefs. There's just so much that, I mean, you're ruining the reefs, you're killing the reefs. Imagine what it's doing to your internal body, on your skin.
Yeah.
Wow. So just educating yourself about the sun, about good skincare, good SPF. You guys are coming out with one. And just integrity behind your ingredients you're using.
I love that. And talking about holistic skincare, the sun can play such a powerful part in that when it's responsible sun exposure, early morning light, sunsetty evening hours, like how supportive that is for overall well-being, our circadian rhythms, our sleep, our mood, our mindset, our emotions.
In Switzerland, there was a whole center designed to get the sun's ray to heal, what was it? The name for like the bone disease. Anyways.
Osteoporosis.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
So.
The synthesis that it supports.
Yeah.
It's much more effective getting it directly from sunlight than supplementing with the vitamin D.
I don't think vitamin D supplements work. I mean, a dicky a little bit maybe, but it's like you can't, there's no way you could emulate and replicate the sun. It's a beautiful star. It's like starlight medicine.
I love that. And we love red light therapy so much. And also like a free natural biohack is getting that early morning light where those red rays are very easily received by your skin, your body. And so just getting out first thing in the morning, getting on your eyes, your skin.
The sun can heal acne. Like my clients who have acne, like go in the sun. I'd be like crucified saying that in school, but it's like it'll heal your skin and it will help in so many ways and it boosts your mood and there's just endless benefits from the sun.
I feel like this kind of is the answer to the question I was going to ask you next, but do you have any other maybe skin myths or industry standards that you just find to be super unhelpful or out of alignment with true skin health?
Yeah, the sun and SPF is a big one. I see that's the first one. And then this need to over exfoliate the skin.
Yes.
Can be often damaging to our microbiome. And having a good relationship with exfoliation. Yeah, it's beautiful for the skin, but we don't need to do it as much as we're doing it. You're stripping your skin's microbiome of oil, water, and it has a beautiful ecosystem of living bacteria on the skin. And if you're just stripping that, it's always having to regenerate and create. So
exfoliate. And it creates a cascade of other issues in the long term.
Yeah.
Do you have some methods of exfoliation that you incorporate or that you recommend to your guests?
I love facial dry brushing.
Yes, love.
We all know how good it is for the body. Bring it up to the face. So getting a brush that is gentle enough. And it also exfoliates the skin, but it also helps to create lymphatic circulation. Helps improve it. It's always moving, but it helps to create and circulate it. And so I'll do the neck, the face, and I've taken before and after pictures where I woke up with a little fluid retention or feeling a little puffy, and after I dry brush and oil cleanse, it's completely gone.
I love that. I find dry brushing in the morning, it's just that perfect little wake-up call for me. It just starts to help me feel a bit more alive and energized.
It wakes you up.
Yes.
And you're like, ooh.
Yes. And I always say it's like the only form of exfoliation. Like I just love how it makes you feel, and you have that kind of 2-for-1 treatment. Mm-hmm. It's detoxifying and brightening all at the same time.
And it's never going to over exfoliate your skin.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. With other products, at home topical exfoliators, sometimes they can just be a little bit overused or abused.
Yeah. Or too much for the skin and can cause redness, irritation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, facial dry brushing is my absolute go-to.
I feel like we have so many women that reach out asking about how I became a holistic esthetician or where I went to school. And although I wasn't trying to like, I didn't want to like fully dig aesthetic school, but I feel like for every program, it's really just to pass state boards. Mm-hmm. And then once you're licensed, really that's where you get to pursue what you're drawn to, what modalities you want to incorporate into your experience and your treatments. And so in one regard, I find it encouraging. It's like, you can go to any aesthetic school that works within your budget, your location. And then from there, that's really where you grow into that.
Yeah. The school
holistic approach to caring for the skin.
Absolutely. I wish there was, it's one of the main questions I get to. It's like, where do you go to school? It's like, well, right now there's not that many great options to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing the education afterwards and honing in on your niche and what you want to offer. And I hope for in the future, there are schools that are dedicated to how we do skincare now.
Yes.
And learning that and making that the focus versus chemical peels, acids, paraffin wax.
Yes. All the shame. I look back and I'm like, oh my God.
Well, a lot of students will develop acne during aesthetic school because
I've had a few girls share that with me as well. Mm-hmm. Their skin actually really struggled through aesthetic school with all the treatments and products and chemicals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hawaii has a beautiful program, which I'd like to get my spa interwoven into, is where you could either go to aesthetic school or you can do double the hours and intern at a spa.
Wow.
And you're still in charge of, you know, passing state board. But instead of learning, you know, the generic run of the mill education they're teaching you, you can be hands on learning in the realm you want to do. So that's
brilliant.
My vision. Yes. And then a long term vision would be to have like a farm school where you can become an esthetician that will learn.
Yes.
And in the natural way, if you want to do that. So
agreed.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, let's do it.
Yes. Redoing skincare.
Yeah. Well, I just so love, as you've grown in your own practice and your own approach to skincare, your work is just so deeply intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear what that looks like for you in your daily life, in your own rituals, and the way that you take care of your guests.
Yeah, I think it's a lifestyle, and you have to live what you're recommending and doing. And, you know, it's authentic coming from that state versus just recommending but not actually practicing the things you
preach.
And I think I try to uphold that as best I can, being a busy mama. But yeah, it's for me, and this is why I love aesthetics so much, is it's not just surface level. It goes into every asset and facet of my life. And, you know, showing up to see clients, I have to be in the best version of myself to provide a relaxing and nourishing treatment for the client.
Absolutely.
And so everything goes into that, you know, what you're eating, your mindset, all of it. And so for me, it's not just something I do. It's a way of being and how I do my life.
Amen. I love that.
Yeah.
What is one grounding ritual that you've returned to daily to help support your skin and nervous system?
I think breath work. I think it's often overlooked as like, it helps calm the nervous system and stress, but it's also so healing and supportive for your skin. And just taking in a deep inhale, deep exhale, you're instantly back into homeostasis.
Instantly.
So clients, I'll have I'll start my sessions with breath work just to bring them, ground them into the room, and not only for them, but for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I'm feeling a little like, oof, amped up, revved up from the day, or baby crying, it's just deep inhale and exhale.
Mm-hmm.
That sets the rhythm at how quickly and fast we move, we think, mm-hmm. how quickly our nervous system is. And so you can bring everything back down by controlling the breath and slowing it down.
Mm-hmm. So if someone was like just starting to get into breath work, where would you recommend?
I mean, there's so much free education out there. I love Wim Hof.
Mm-hmm.
He's super spunky and super animated and excited mm-hmm. about life. He has amazing videos.
Like, that's what this work does.
Yeah,
gives you that energy.
It gives you so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I've had like a unrestful night, nursing through the night, or, you know, babies, I'll do breath work in the morning, and it completely restores my vitality. And you feel elevated states of whether it's consciousness or peace, and you can mm-hmm. access that through your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you could start off with Wim Hof, or even just taking in a deep inhale, 4 counts mm-hmm. in, hold for 2 seconds, and then exhale 4 counts.
So simple.
Yeah.
Free. Always with
us. It's free. It's always with us.
Yes.
You have everything you need inside of you to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is extra, but if you can access that, that's mm-hmm. where healing happens.
If there was one truth that you wish every woman knew deep in her bones, mm-hmm. what would that be?
That you are so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and to not follow the trends or to put your beauty on the way you look so much, and like you were talking about earlier, going back to who you are in your core and your spirit, and developing that and feeling beauty in that, mm-hmm. and then it just radiates from within. And yeah, I think everyone's so unique, and you were mm-hmm. born the way you are,
mm-hmm.
and beauty nowadays is so trending the way you should look.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't last.
Mm-hmm. And it's being defined by other people.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. a great point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, everyone is so beautiful in their mm-hmm. own way.
Mm-hmm.
And to think like that's the now mm-hmm. standard for beauty is absolutely ridiculous.
I've started getting in this habit of when I have this thought of a woman that she's so beautiful, mm-hmm. I tell her.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful.
And I think that that's like when I have like a random stranger ever share that with me, yeah. it just, oh, it like totally shifts. Like,
yeah.
it's just that sweet reminder. And so my mom always said, if you have something to say, like, or essentially, I think, let love reach its destination. Mm. And so I think even with that, like, as women encouraging beauty in the other that yeah. we see and calling that out, whether it's a physical attribute or that inner radiance,
yeah.
but I think just reminding each other of that innate beauty that we hold.
Well, and you can see beauty in the eyes. I think I love to give eye contact when I talk, mm-hmm. and you can see, it's like you get a window into their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, oftentimes I use it as my judge of like, can I trust this person
mm-hmm.
or can I not? And mm-hmm. so you can see so much through the eyes
mm-hmm.
and what they tell. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's like a window into their most inner being.
Yes. Eye contact's very intimate.
Mm-hmm. Very intimate.
Elizabeth, you're such a light.
Mm.
I just love your perspective, your approach. Just very grateful for the way that you just bared your soul and shared so much of your wisdom with us today. Where can our listeners learn more and connect with you and Honest Rituals?
So Instagram, honest.rituals, and then I have 2 spa locations. One's in Topanga Canyon in California, and the other one's in the North Shore of Kauai. And I oscillate between the two, but I have an amazing team of girls and women that I have trained, and they're incredible estheticians. So when I'm not there, they're amazing to see.
I feel like I've had a facial with all of them.
Oh.
In Topanga, at least.
You did tell me that, mm-hmm. and that means the world.
They're incredible.
someone gives that feedback, because it's your baby. You're like, okay, I'm entrusting you now. So I must say, I love, they're incredible women. Mm. So very blessed. And then I have a website as well, Honest Rituals.
Beautiful. We'll keep sharing your holistic wisdom and intuition. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me. Yes.